Infanticide is compassionate end-of-life care, says Democratic organizer. A Democratic organizer who worked on the campaigns of Barack Obama in 2008 and Bernie Sanders 2016 sparked a social media debate this week when she said abortion doctors aren't killing babies who survive abortion, but instead are providing compassionate end-of-life care. The back-and-forth debate began when Essie Cupp, a commentator on CNN, made a comparison between the separation of families at the border and the killing of a baby who survives abortion. In response, Burns said, "Strongly recommend you talk with an OB. The myths around miscarriage maintenance are very harmful. Doctors aren't killing babies. They are helping families handle end-of-life care for a dying newborn with dignity and compassion. I just wonder if the newborn could speak, or if someone could speak for the newborn who was aborted. I just wonder what would that sound like?"
The sex life of fire. We walk into the starless night. The ground beneath our feet is wet with baby's blood. The sticky mud of once warm life tossed out, discarded in this restless resting place, where little souls are laid in layers of the lifeless dirt, found guilty of desiring to be born. To breathe the air of morning, afternoon, and night, feel the sun's befriending warmth, be held by ones who are supposed to be waiting, who must be waiting for them. They too had love to give, for they were someone, not nothing, not no one, no matter all the worthless words that can be said, though they themselves never had a chance to speak. Somewhere before this life, unspoken sentences of tenderness were formed, and then cut off before they could be said. Cut off in ceremonies of lifeless latex hands and disembodied masks that float in blind bright auras of white rooms with antiseptic smells, while mother lay there waiting to be done with them. The love that was their right, fetal expectations formed from instinct in the womb or long before, was cut away with knives and suction tubes, cut out by deadly rays from strangers' eyes, pierced by sterile, unclean hands and death-addicted minds. All professional, and just like mom, in a hurry to be done with them. Get on with something more important. How much are a couple lungs, a heart, and brain worth anyway? $500 more or less, though often lives are nullified for free. So anxious the community of the living to abolish them, to lock them out of consciousness forever. Flush them down a sewer pipe and float them out into the cold, dark trenches of the sea. They must be dissolved. Erased from memory, you see, and if mother feels regret or pangs of guilt, there's always counseling to heal and medication to forget.
Introducing the first episode of the Political Truth Podcast.
Oh, it is me, it is me, it is the Luminary, and you are listening to The Political Truth, here from Charlotte, North Carolina, saying you can chase a lie all over the world, but the truth, it stands where it stands, and we're taking a stand right here in Charlotte, North Carolina. As always, I am in front of the Dell Inspiron Series 6, whatever, laptop computer. I am recording on Audacity. Also in front of me, it has moved from the left into in front of me. It would be the Galaxy Tab S4 tablet to the right of me. As always, it is the trusty Pixel 2XL, and as always, it is on airplane mode. You are hearing me behind the platinum blue snowball microphone, and also the new addition to our technological family, the Tick Watch Pro, which is in my room on charge because I don't need it today. And always, as always, I am in the glorious Houston studio, aka the second room of my house.
Welcome to The Political Truth. As you just heard the intro, whole new theme music and everything. Why? Because this is my hard-hitting show. This is when I talk about politics and how it cross-sections Christianity, and when it cross-sections, that's when I talk about it the most. And typically the issue is abortion or gay marriage or something like that, where the church has been co-opted, where the church is being deceived and deceiving others, where politics, as it always does, is ruining every single thing it touches. Everything politics touches, it turns to crap. It has turned my basketball into crap. It has turned football into crap. It has turned my entertainment into crap. And right now, it's turning Christianity into crap. And I despise and despise and despise politics. But with that being said, there is a time and a place to when I have to do this. So from now on, you will be getting The Political Truth. You may not get it every single week, but you're going to get it sometime during maybe the month. You may get it twice a month, three times a month. It just really depends. But my new format is to try to do things within 20 to 30 minutes because, listen, we're all busy here. And it allows me to focus on one subject, hit it real hard, get what the Lord really wants me to give you on this issue. Let me say something before I get started with this. I am not a Christian podcaster. I am a podcaster who is a Christian and a devout one at that. Now, to be honest with you, when I say devout, that doesn't mean I'm perfect. But I try to live the way the Lord would like me to live according to Scripture. And so I don't do Christian podcasts because they bore me. I'm just going to be honest. They completely bore me. Most of them are trying to sound a certain way because they don't want to offend somebody. They're trying to project onto people what a Christian is supposed to sound like. They will claim that Jesus sounded a certain way at all times. But when you read the words of Jesus in the context of the situations he's in, could you imagine Jesus saying, "Your father is the devil"? Could you imagine Jesus saying, "Leave her alone. She's done much good work for me"? Could you imagine Jesus saying the things that he said in those sort of tones? Could you imagine? No. But of course, there were times when he did talk that way. And I think a lot of people that call themselves Christian podcasters, they don't want to talk about certain issues. And they don't want to talk about it a certain way because, well, it may be seen by others as non-Christian, or it doesn't sound loving enough or whatever. My friend, I define love by a devotion and a commitment to the truth of Scripture, and by that way helping the church adhere to the truth of Scripture so that we would bear fruit for the kingdom of the glory of heaven. That's what I call loving. I'm also not a Christian podcaster because I'm not just going to limit what I talk about to things like eschatology or the ecclesiology of the church. I will, but there's ways I talk about things that it needs to be talked about that isn't going to be soft-pedaled. I'm sorry, it's just not going to happen. If that offends you, then the truth stand isn't the place for you. I also am not a Christian podcaster because I am not going to have myself be beholden to sects of Christianity because I'm not a Baptist. I'm not a Methodist. I'm not a Calvinist. I'm not an Armenian. I'm not a Catholic. I'm not any of these things. I don't subscribe to any doctrine. I don't subscribe to any theology. My church, if you want to call it that, is really not even a church, but it is the church of the body of Christ. But we are gathered unto the name of the Lord, and we have no particular ideology, no particular doctrine. Now, what does that mean? That doesn't mean we don't study the Bible and we don't adhere to Scripture. But what that means is that no. I don't adhere to the doctrine of John Calvin or Jacob Arminius and John Wesley and other preachers. I don't sit here and quote preachers all day for my source of truth because the Word of God is my truth. Christianity can be very cliquey. It can be very, if you're not a part of this group, then we're not going to listen to you. If you're not a part of that group, we're not going to listen to you. Or if you are a part of this group, then we're going to demonize you because you are part of that group. Sometimes I don't know where the truth stand fits in with all of these things, but I'm just going to go with it because I believe the Lord wants me to continue to do this so I can provide to you the energy, the truth-filled energy. My friend once said, this show is like the truth-filled high-octane energy drink, and that's what it is, a high-octane truth-filled energy drink. With that being said, I got something to say to Christians who are all political, who are caught up in politics. See, I don't vote. Because I believe as ambassadors, as it talks about in 2 Corinthians, or is it 1 Corinthians? Either way, it's in Corinthians. It says that we are ambassadors of Christ. We are strangers. We are pilgrims. Ambassadors, strangers, and pilgrims don't get involved in the affairs of the world that we are surrounded by. We don't really get involved in that. However, that does not mean that we don't address things that are personally affecting us. Personally affecting the church and deceiving the church. That's why I don't vote, because I don't believe it's biblical to be voting. With that being said, but many of you do. And so it is my obligation to help you understand what is Christian and what isn't. And voting for people who support infanticide, that is not Christian. It is an abomination what's going on in this country. You've heard my other podcast when I talked about the governor from Ralph Northam from Virginia. That complete abomination. That uncircumcised Philistine who basically said, well, we're going to keep the baby comfortable. And then me and the mother, well, the mother and the doctor, we're going to decide whether or not we want to keep it or not. So let me get this straight. The baby gets born and then we decide if we want to keep it, right? That's called infanticide. You're not God. You're playing God. That's crap. And then you have this unbelievable display of false God worship like I talked about in my last podcast. These people in New York who made it a constitutional right to kill babies after they've been born. A constitutional right. And those people cheered as if they had just freed slaves. It's absolutely an abomination. And then other states like New Mexico and Vermont, they are following suit, passing horrible God-hating legislation. And so, what did the Republicans try to do? The Republicans tried to protect the baby who was born. And they were the product of a botched abortion. And this is what happened. This is reported from the Politico.com. Absolutely piece of garbage leftist rag. But it's Washington, D.C. elites. Number one rag that people leak to. So it's very important to know what's being said in the Politico. It says, quote, Senate defeats anti-abortion bill as GOP tries to jam Dems. Isn't that precious? Whenever Republicans are in trouble, it's about the Republican and how they're in trouble. But whenever the Democrat is in trouble, it's always about the reaction of the Republican. See, either way go, it's always the Republican fault. So listen to how cynical this headline is. Senate defeats anti-abortion bill as GOP tries to jam Dems. In other words, it's anti-abortion. No, it's not trying to protect babies out the womb. It's just anti-abortion, aka you hate women. And then as GOP tries to jam Dems, meaning all this is all just about 2020 politics. Now, we at the Truth Stand aren't ignorant of politics. We understand that there is, in all likelihood, a political advantage to doing these things. And by the way, if the Democrats keep up with their nuttiness and their nonsense, they're going to get shellacked in 2020. So keep it going, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Keep it going, Ilhan Omar and this other Rita whatever, these anti-Semites, that these black women, these anti-Semites that they elected to Congress who are saying all kinds of racist things and hateful, horrible things. It's Rashida Tlaib. That's the other one. Rashida Tlaib. Keep it up. All these nutty people. Oh, by the way, you know, Joe Biden is supposed to be hopping into the race. Did you know that? 77-year-old Joe Biden. And guess what? Joe Biden tried to say that Mike Pence was a nice guy. He gets one tweet from one of these crackhead leftists that gets elected. I mean, one of these crazy people. That, oh, how can you say that Mike Pence is a good guy when he's against the LGBT community? And then immediately Joe Biden folds and says, okay, well, you're right. Yeah, he's a reprobate. I hate his guts now. And that's the guy you want leading your country? That gutless wonder? But I digress. Getting back to the article in the Politico. It says here, it's the Senate on Monday. And this, by the way, was reported February the 25th, so Monday was February the 24th. The Senate on Monday rejected the bill, making it a felony for a doctor to harm or neglect an infant who survives an attempted abortion, part of the Republican effort to squeeze Democrats ahead of the 2020 campaign. Now, you see, the point of that, the point of them saying that like that, is to get you in the mindset of, look, this isn't about babies and protecting. This is just a cynical ploy by Republicans, and they're engaging in dirty politics. So you, the stupid, we'll just go along with that and say, uh-huh, look at them. They defeated those evil Republicans again. The Democrats, they're just too smart for them. It's just garbage. This was a bill, by the way, it had no hope of passing, by the way, because they needed 60 votes in the Senate to avoid what's called a filibuster. And they only got 53 votes, which means every Republican voted for it, and three Democrats actually came over to the side of the Republicans. That would be Bob Casey of Pennsylvania, Doug Jones of Alabama, and Joe Manchin of West Virginia. But by the way, that means absolutely nothing because those guys got elected in districts that Donald Trump won. So therefore, that's the reason why they did that. They're just trying to save their own necks. This guy Joe Manchin is a complete joke. But anyway, that's the Politico.com. So that's what's going on there. And then we talk about how people defend this stuff, how Christians, alleged Christians, defend that stuff. And I'm going to get to the president of the Southern Baptist Convention in just 1 second. But here's a headline from CBN News. That's murder. These House members can't believe senators failed to prevent infanticide. Quote, here's one lawmaker. I never could have in my wildest dreams, worst nightmare, dreamed that I would have to come up here one day and fight harder to protect newborn babies than I did as a physician. This would be Kansas Republican Roger Marshall. And there's a few other quotes in here, but for the sake of time, we're going to skip that. Now, you want to hear something really disgusting, really, really disgusting? There is this guy. His name is J.D. Greer. You may have heard of him. He's the president of the Southern Baptist Convention. And he basically gave interference to Democrats. That's what I believe. He gave interference to Democrats. Here's his after this abomination took place. J.D. Greer. Now, this is not a Democrat or Republican issue. It's about whether to keep babies alive, alive. That's a bunch of crap. While it is true that this is about keeping babies alive, no, sir. What party is always full steam ahead, pro-abortion, pro-murder? That would be the Democrat Party. Name me one Republican. One. Name me one, J.D. Greer. Name me one who supports this crap. Even the traitorous Republicans that always betrays Donald Trump. Even those people, they are against it because it's sick. These Democrats are a bunch of sociopaths. Let me say this. You Christians who vote for this crap because of your black skin, because of your programmed, brainwashed beliefs about Republicans, which, by the way, I don't endorse. I know by the tone of my voice it sounds like it, but I don't. I am a conservative politically, if that's such a thing. But I am no Republican, because Republicans are feckless and weak and cowardly and typically side with Democrats anyway. But with that being said, you black Christians who sit here and promote this crap, do your voting. I know most of you are socially conservative. Most of you hate abortion. You hate gay marriage. Most of you think the society is heading in the wrong direction morally and ethically. Your preachers, your social justice warrior preachers are even against the moral decay of this country. But yet you continue to vote for the same party that is promoting the moral decay. Because you've been told Republicans want to lock y'all up in chains. They tell you that, they're the reason why black people in your world fail. See, they want to eat your children. The Republicans hate your guts. If they could reimpose slavery, they would. And the Democrat Party continues to push that crap. And you continue to believe it. And you go vote for the deep button when you know you are supporting a party that is pure infanticide. Pure infanticide. And you keep doing it. And you white Christians who do the same thing for all your other issues. All you Christians who are masquerading as Christians, but you're really a bunch of liberals. In all these new churches, in all these new churches with 40, 50,000 people going straight to hell. With all your wicked false doctrine and all your liberalism, you support this garbage. In the name of love. In the name of love. You're disgusting. That's not Christianity. I don't care what you claim it is. I don't care who your preacher is. I don't care how famous he is or how famous she is. For you to either support this crap or to do what J.D. Greer does, and by the way, that's spelled J-D-G. I gotcha. To either support this stuff or to turn a blind eye to the real perpetrators of it. You're sick. You're sick in the head. And you Christians who vote for this stuff, you're sick. And I refuse to call you my brother. I refuse to call you my sister. No, you're not. Oh, well, I'm against abortion personally, but I'm for a woman's right to choose. No, you are someone who is in favor of infanticide. It's sick. Just sick. I'm going to end this podcast. There is a clip that was on Fox News. Ainsley Earhart, who is a, I think her name is Ainsley Earhart. She's interviewing a doctor who has committed 1,200 abortions in his life. He's killed 1,200 babies. And what happened to him was his little girl died in a car wreck. And then all of a sudden, for the first time in his life, that fetus, that baby, was now somebody he valued as a life. He didn't do that before his own little girl died. But I want you to hear how moving this is. And I want you to hear her respond. And she's in tears because he's telling her what abortion is. And it's disgusting. And it's absolutely disgusting. It's hideous. So I want you to hear that. And I want you to sit there and think about you as black Democrats, white Democrats, you voting for these people. Since that's what you want to do, you want to engage in politics anyway. Well, since you're going to do it, I might as well tell you how wrong you are for supporting this abomination. So right now, you're going to hear this clip. It's about 7 minutes long. And that's how the podcast is going to end. You're not even going to hear my voice. So you can chase a law all over the world. But the truth, it stands where it stands. I am your host, The Luminary, and this has been The Political Truth.
In 5 years, Dr. Anthony Levitino performed 1,200 abortions, including 100 second trimester abortions. And during that time, his little daughter, Heather, was hit by a car when she was 5 years old in front of their house. 2 months before her sixth birthday, Heather died in the ambulance on the way to the hospital in her parents' arms. The death of his daughter led Dr. Levitino to stop performing abortions. Dr. Anthony Levitino is a board-certified OBGYN and former abortionist, and he joins us now. Doctor, thank you so much for being here. Tell us your story, please.
When I graduated from medical school in 1976, I was dedicated pro-choice. And as a gynecologist in training, I learned to do abortions, both first and second trimester. In practice, I performed over 1,200 abortions over a 4.5, almost 5-year period, including 10% of those, about 120 of them were second trimester abortions, up to 24 weeks. And as I said, I was quite dedicated to it. This was a woman's choice, and I was an obstetrician, and I was going to provide that care. On June 23rd, 1984, as you mentioned, my daughter Heather was hit by a car and in front of our home and ultimately died. People on watching the program who have children may think they have some idea of what that might be like. If you haven't lost a child yourself, you have no idea. I hope you never find out. But what do you do after a disaster? You bury your child and you try to get back into your life. And I don't remember exactly how long it was after that I was scheduled for my first D&E second trimester abortion. But I showed up at the hospital just like I had over 100 times before, thinking of it as routine. A second trimester D&E abortion is a brutal, inhumane procedure. This is a morning show, so I cannot describe it. But let's thus say that they call it dismemberment abortion for a reason. And I started that abortion and just stared at what I had just pulled out of the uterus. When you do an abortion, you have to, believe it or not, keep inventory. You have to make sure that you get everything. And for the first time in my career, after all those years and all those abortions, I really looked at that pile of body parts on the side of the table. And I didn't see her wonderful right to choose, and I didn't see what a great doctor I was helping her with her problem, and I didn't even see the $800 cash I just made in 15 minutes. All I could see was somebody's son or daughter. And it struck me in that moment that this patient had figuratively, never literally, came to me and said, here's $800, kill my son or daughter. And I was the kind of person to look her right back in the eye with no hesitation and say, sure, I'll do that.
Pretty powerful. I'm a mother of a little girl, and I look at your little girl, Heather, and think about Hayden. I just can't imagine. Some of these doctors want to do late-term abortions. I can't even picture what that would be like.
The sex life of fire. We walk into the starless night. The ground beneath our feet is wet with baby's blood. The sticky mud of once warm life tossed out, discarded in this restless resting place, where little souls are laid in layers of the lifeless dirt, found guilty of desiring to be born. To breathe the air of morning, afternoon, and night, feel the sun's befriending warmth, be held by ones who were supposed to be waiting, who must be waiting for them. They too had love to give, for they were someone, not nothing, not no one, no matter all the worthless words that can be said, though they themselves never had a chance to speak. Somewhere before this life, unspoken sentences of tenderness were formed, and then cut off before they could be said. Cut off in ceremonies of lifeless latex hands and disembodied masks that float in blind bright auras of white rooms with antiseptic smells, while mother lay there waiting to be done with them. The love that was their right, fetal expectations formed from instinct in the womb or long before, was cut away with knives and suction tubes, cut out by deadly rays from strangers' eyes, pierced by sterile, unclean hands and death-addicted minds. All professional, and just like mom, in a hurry to be done with them. Get on with something more important. How much are a couple lungs, a heart, and brain worth anyway? $500 more or less? Though often lives are nullified for free. So anxious the community of the living to abolish them, to lock them out of consciousness forever. Flush them down a sewer pipe and float them out into the cold, dark trenches of the sea. They must be dissolved. Erased from memory, you see, and if mother feels regret or pangs of guilt, there's always counseling to heal, and medication to forget.